morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, as well as Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We have joining us on the phone this morning to preview the Packers preseason finale and talk about all these Packers injuries that have been happening. We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, are you ready for the end of preseason football?
Yeah, ready for just one last weekend, and then we can get to some real NFL games.
Sounds good. Nathan, there's so many injuries that the Packers have endured this past week or so. A few notable and ones that will have an impact on the team. And what I kind of want to do is talk about the guys who are going to be replacing them in the lineup for the time being, at least. Just yesterday, B.J. Raji placed on injured reserve, out for the season. His replacement, Josh Boyd, has been working with the starters at nose tackle in practice. How has Josh Boyd performed this preseason?
He has looked very average this preseason. Against the Rams, he was able to manage three steps, but there really hasn't been much else positive or negative out of him in the run game outside of one missed tackle. As a pass rusher, he has two hurries on 34 pass rushes, which is a little below average for an interior pass rusher. But then I would expect him to be playing a lot more in the base defense, so a lot more against the run than the pass. So the run is really what's important, and he's looked very average there, not too much positive or negative from him. So as a fifth round draft pick in his second year, that's really not too bad. So I would expect Boyd to be able to play just fine as Raji's replacement.
Well, hopefully he only improves from here on out. Maybe as he gets more time, that'll be the case. Another player who's looking to potentially replace Raji in a rotational basis would be rookie Mike Pennell, who's had a rather impressive training camp for being an undrafted rookie. Tell me, Nathan, how has he done in the preseason?
He's definitely had his ups and downs. He's had a couple really nice plays where he ends up making shedding a blocker and then making a tackle for just a short gain. So he's definitely had more big plays than Boyd has this preseason. But then there's also been a bit more negative. There's been a couple of times where offensive player is able to block him to the inside while the running back's able to run to the outside of the play, and he hasn't been able to shed those blocks. So that's a little bit concerning. But he's also gone against some lower quality linemen, so I could see him maybe not doing quite as well with snaps in the regular season, but he's clearly outplayed the other undrafted rookies on the Packers defensive line. So I definitely think he's making the team at this point. Yeah. I'm just not sure how much playing time he'll see.
Yeah, I mean, just a rookie, so at least there's the upside in that, you know, he's going to learn a little and then get better as time goes on. Finally, along the defensive line, LaTroy Guyon just practiced for the first time this week, comes off the non-football injury list. We don't have any preseason action to talk about, Nathan, but maybe, you know, seeing as the Packers signed LaTroy Guyon as a free agent in the offseason, could you tell me a little bit about how he played as a member of the Vikings where he began his career?
He wasn't playing all that well last year, and that went on into previous years as well, but we gave him an overall grade of -11.4. which was better than what we had for Raji last year, but not as good as some of the other linemen. A lot of that was due to his pass rush. He doesn't really give much in terms of a pass rush, so I would expect him, if he sees any playing time with the Packers, for it to be more in their base defense. Since he did play a little better in rundowns, he didn't make too many tackles, but he did have 13 run stops. But as I said, he doesn't give much as a pass rusher, so he's really competing for those base defense snaps. But I think if he's asked to play, he can perform adequately, probably about as well as someone like Johnny Jolly was playing last year. But I don't think he's a huge long-term asset for the Packers.
It's not looking good that the Packers are going to get Pro Bowl play out of their nose tackle position this season, but maybe if they just get adequate play, that will suffice. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Cheesehead DV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Moving to the offensive side of the football for a moment here, Nathan, with J.C. Tretter out for several weeks, the Packers are going to be relying on rookie Corey Linsley at center. Will he be able to handle the job based upon his play so far in the month of August?
His play in the preseason has been really interesting so far. We've given him a plus 3.2 grade, which is fifth best for all centers. And specifically in run blocking, he is our second highest graded player. But our grades don't account for quality of opponent. So he's been going up against some weaker defensive linemen. So that certainly plays into things. And he's also been penalized twice, which doesn't help him. But one thing I did find interesting is when he was playing against Aaron Donald of the St. Louis Rams, a first-round draft pick, that's where he definitely struggled the most. But then later in that same game, did really well against some of the Rams' defensive linemen further down the depth chart. So there's definitely reason to be somewhat optimistic because he has been doing so well against some of these backup linemen. I'm just not sure how well that will translate against going against starting defensive linemen.
Well, as it's kind of like a broken record here. With him being a rookie, we can only hope that he's going to learn more and get better from here on out. Uh-huh. On the defenses, going back to defense here again, and maybe we're going by severity of injury here with B.J. Raji being the worst and J.C. Tretter out for several weeks. Brad Jones' injury, suffered a knee injury this past preseason game. He's going to be out for this week's game, we know, against the Kansas City Chiefs. Jamari Lattimore figures to take his place in the starting lineup. How has Lattimore done in preseason action?
He's really had an interesting preseason. He started out playing poorly, a lot of negative graded plays for him, and then about halftime of the Rams game, he turned everything around and then has had a lot of positive graded plays ever since that point. So I'm not sure what happened during that halftime, but he started playing a lot better at that point. It's all basically averaged out to him being an average player in the preseason when you add everything up. But just to give an example of how he started out poorly and has done better. In the first game, he allowed both passes thrown his way to be complete for 11 yards and 8 yards, where this past game he was only targeted once and he had a pass defense on that one target. So, of course, a small sample size, but definitely interesting to see him improve recently.
One more player here. Do you think Sam Barrington, another backup inside linebacker, has a chance at all to leapfrog maybe Lattimore at linebacker based upon his play?
I don't think at this point he's going to pass Lattimore on the depth chart. The big reason for that is his play in coverage in the preseason. He's been thrown at four times, and he's allowed all four of those passes to be caught for 23 yards, 20 yards, 14 yards, and 4 yards. He has looked fine in the run game and also has a sack on a blitz, but most of the Packers inside linebackers have played well against the run in the preseason as well. So I think Barrington's definitely the fourth inside linebacker on the depth chart, but I don't see him passing Lattimore due to his playing coverage.
That is interesting because I know the Packers have used Sam Barrington a lot in the dime situation where A.J. Hawk mm-hmm. comes off the field and Barrington comes on and you know, and of course pass coverage being so important in that role. So definitely something to keep watching as time goes on here. Finally, Nathan, we're getting ready for the preseason finale tomorrow against the Kansas City Chiefs. I know typically the starters don't play long. I'm not sure if we should be concerned about Jamaal Charles for the Chiefs, but which players maybe should the Packers have to be prepared for on Thursday?
Yeah, I don't think they have to be too worried about Jamaal Charles. I'm guessing if he plays at all, it'll be for one drive and that's it. But looking at some of the backups for Kansas City, I think one thing that'll be interesting to watch is the Chiefs' offensive line versus the Packers' defensive line. The Chiefs have had a lot of struggles with their offensive line, both with their starters and backups. So it'll be interesting to see which Packers defensive linemen can best take advantage of that. Despite the offensive line playing poorly, Running back Cyrus Gray, who's a backup for Kansas City, has averaged at least 4.4 yards per carry in each of his three preseason games so far. So he has looked really good. So it'll be interesting to see if the Packers, backup defensive players can stop him. On the other side of the ball, it's again, around the line that I'm most interested in seeing, both the Chiefs defensive line and outside linebackers, especially, on passing plays. They have a number of good interior pass rushers like Vance Walker, Alan Bailey, and Jay Howard, who I could see them playing a bit in this game. And then also at outside linebacker, they have first round pick Dee Ford, who has played a high 118 snaps so far in the preseason. And in that time has a sack, two hits, and four hurries. So he's been playing pretty well. And then we should also see a bit of former Packer Frank Zombo at outside linebacker, and also a little bit at inside linebacker for the Chiefs in this game as well.
Interesting. I'm kind of interested to see Dee Ford and how he turns out for the Chiefs. So thanks for pointing that out, Nathan. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again next week as we wrap up all the preseason action and finally start looking to regular season and a game against Seattle. So talk to you then, Nathan.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Okay, take care. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday here on the show. Here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV, as we continue our discussion here today of the Green Bay Packers. And I think we have to start with the roster moves the Packers made yesterday. Had to get down to the NFL's mandated 75 roster limit of 75 players. As of Tuesday at 3 p.m. Central Time, Packers took it all the way down to the deadline. Didn't even announce who they had placed on injured reserve until after the deadline. So fans had to wait a little while to get that announcement. But so we learned Packers placed six on injured reserve, and those six are, as we talked about, some of them with Nathan Yonke, defensive lineman B.J. Raji, wide receiver Jared Abradaris, and offensive lineman Don Barclay. Those we've kind of known would be coming for a while. Then a couple young players, running back Rajon Neal, linebacker Joe Thomas, and offensive lineman Andrew Tiller. If we could talk about BJ Raji here for a moment, I think, just him recently suffering his injury. But here's a guy who had a disappointing 2013 season. You could really probably say he's had a disappointing maybe 2012 season ahead of that, maybe even 2011, although it wasn't quite as bad back then. It just seems like Raji's gotten progressively worse ever since that Packers Super Bowl season in 2010. And he played great that year. I don't know what the change has been. You would think the older he gets, the more experienced, and he would be hitting the prime of his career. And I don't know, maybe it's the fact that he experienced so much success where he's like, well, I already achieved the highest goal there is in all of professional football by winning a Super Bowl ring, and has kind of coasted since that time. But of course, last year, I mean, just bottoming out almost, playing really poorly, making 16 tackles the entire season or something like that. I mean, that's an average of one a game, or was it even less than that? It's terrible. And he hasn't had a sack in over 2 years. BJ Raji during the Super Bowl season was a very good interior pass rusher for a nose tackle. He had 6.5 sacks in 2010. I mean, there just aren't nose tackles in the NFL that come up with 6.5 sacks. I mean, that's very, very rare. So I mean, you just wonder whatever happened to that player. Whatever happened to him? So, there was a time when it was thought, BJ Raji, boy, the Packers are going to have to break the bank to keep him. And at one point, actually offered, reportedly, according to Bob McGinn, a deal averaging about $8 million a season. Raji, perhaps thankfully, not from his perspective, but for the Packers' perspective, luckily turned it down. And ends up, so he plays out the 2013 2013 season, and the Packers re-sign him basically on a one-year prove-it deal worth $4 million. Which, I mean, so now he's going to become a free agent once again. He's going to miss the entire year with no prove-it opportunity for him. I could venture to guess what the next contract B.J. Raji signs, although I know it won't be for very much. It's not probably going to match the $4 million he received this season. And I have no clue where the Packers go from here, whether they want him back. I suppose if he only signs a very small contract, there's certainly very little hurt in letting him compete for a job next offseason. You know, if there's very little financial ramifications, I mean, it remains to be seen how he comes back from a torn biceps, although that's usually, you know, when you hear about players coming back from injury, you're more concerned about torn ACLs and things like that. Not that torn biceps is anything to sneeze at, but I mean, it's B.J. Raji's future with the Green Bay Packers franchise is now quite a bit up in the air. I wish I could say where it goes from here, but it's anyone's guess, and maybe a lot depends on how the 2014 season plays out. How this rookie Mike Pinnell looks, you know, him being practically the same size as Raji from a girth standpoint, weighing over 330 pounds, there aren't a whole heck of a lot of players like that out there. So if Mike Pinnell can do well in that type of role, maybe the Packers move on from B.J. Raji. But we have a whole season to find out first. A whole heck of a long time before we come back to B.J. Raji again. Probably won't be talking about him until after the 2014 season is over. So this, I mean, not to say we'll never mention B.J. Raji's name again, but boy, I mean, here we are entering a very important season. It's going to be a long time before we're talking about B.J. Raji once again. So after that, the moves of Jared Aberderis and Don Barclay, I guess I should mention that none of the players placed on injured reserve yesterday received the return designation. You know, every team in the NFL gets one player to place on short-term injured reserve that can come back mid-season. None of these guys received that designation. But, yeah, we've known for a while that Aberderis and Barclay would be placed on injured reserve. There's not a whole lot to say there. They're going to miss the entire season, and they're just going to come back and compete for a job next year. I mean, it's unfortunate for both of them that they're set back an entire season. I don't think it helps either of them, although they have to make as much of the situation as they can. I mean, and a lot of that is up to the individual player. But I mean, that's the approach you have to take. If you're Aberderis, if you're Barclay, it's all about rehabbing and hitting the weight room and becoming stronger and faster. It's going to be slow when you tear an ACL. You're not going to be faster for a long time. But that's the approach they have to take, and we'll see them once again. Probably won't be talking about them too much until, you know, we're talking spring of next year. When the season is done and these guys are finally, you know, coming back and pushing for a roster, although, you know, tearing an ACL, they may not even be taking part in the off-season program. I don't know. Kind of depends on how quickly they recover. Could be a situation where they don't come back until training camp of next year. We will see. Then you got three young guys who, actually, the Packers, they released their press release saying they're placed on injured reserve. Went and took a look at the NFL's transaction wire. Joe Thomas, Rajon Neal, and Andrew Tiller were all waived injured, meaning they are all subject to waivers today. It is possible, albeit unlikely, highly unlikely, and if any NFL team places a claim on them. Colt Laierla, which we'll get more to him on a moment, already went through this process. And if nobody placed a claim on Colt Laierla, I can't imagine they'd want to place a claim on an injured Rajon Neal or Joe Thomas or Andrew Tiller or anything like that. But it was notable that they didn't go directly to IR like Aberderis, like Barclay. They got to pass through waivers first. I'm not sure if that means the Packers are going to come to an injury settlement with them. There's a couple different ways you can look at this. I mean, it could be that the Packers can still place them on injured reserve and carry these guys around for the rest of the regular season. I mean, when we talk about Rajon Neal and Joe Thomas in particular, these guys were having a promising training camp. Not that they're Pro Bowlers by any means, but these guys were having a promising training camp until they both suffered non-surgical knee injuries in the Packers' first preseason game, if you remember back to the game against the Tennessee Titans now about 3 weeks ago. They suffered these knee injuries and haven't been back since. But Rajon Neal looked like a guy. Wow, here's a nice young running back. It'd be nice to develop him on the practice squad, if nothing else. And same with Joe Thomas. He's kind of an undersized linebacker, but showed a little bit of ability early on and maybe could be a special teams kind of demon. You kind of wonder these things when you saw these guys in training camp practice or in the limited time we saw him in the preseason. But, you know, there's potential there. So, I mean, it could be the Packers just want to place him on IR, keep around for the entire season, and then give him another shot next year. Or, they could come to an injury settlement with them. And eventually, after the injury settlement, bring him back onto the practice squad. But that's kind of a situation where you do that, where it might be middle of the regular season at earliest that you can do that. Because if you come to an injury settlement with a player, you cannot re-sign them until 6 weeks after the injury settlement. Other NFL teams can sign them earlier, but the team that they come to the injury settlement with cannot sign them for 6 weeks later. So I don't know if the Packers, want to. I mean, we just wait and see. I can't get inside the mind I don't know enough. I'm not a doctor about, each of these individual injuries suffered by Neal or Thomas or, what their extent is, whether they're simply done for the year or whatever. It's so hard to tell without knowing this kind of information. So we're in wait and see mode with them and see how the Packers proceed. Andrew Tiller, a guy who was on the practice squad last year. I don't know what the Packers, their stance would be on him. He seemed like very much a long shot to begin with. And it could be something where he just comes to an injury settlement and that's the end of his time with the Green Bay Packers. But Colt Laierla, this was news yesterday as well. He had already been placed on injured reserve a week or so ago. The Packers come to an injury settlement with him. Kind of caught people by surprise yesterday on Tuesday because word was, and I believe this came directly from Colt Laierla himself when beat reporters had talked to him, had said the Packers planned to carry him on injured reserve for the entire season. So you just kind of assumed that would be the case and he would, come back and try again next year. And then they, come to the settlement with him. And it caught people by surprise because that was not what they had heard originally. So you wonder, are the Packers giving up on Colt Laierla? What's happening here? And the only thing I can go by is I believe it was Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. Go by all means, go over there. I think he had an interview with Laierla's agent. And the agent, I believe, said that the Packers didn't think it was in Laierla's best interest to have an entire year away from football. And I can get that reasoning. I can understand that. You could see where, you know, here's a guy who was, you know, we know this. He's been had a troubled upbringing and college career, and maybe sitting out for an entire year may not be in his best interest from a personal, standpoint and development. But, you know, what we found out here, and as others have reported, including Tom Pelissero of USA Today, the Packers have come to a injury settlement with him that I think lasts 8 weeks into the regular season. And then on top of that, the Packers can't sign him till 6 weeks after the injury settlement. So meaning the Packers, if they wanted to put him on the practice squad or the 53-man roster for that matter, it doesn't really make a difference. They couldn't sign him until after week 14 of the regular season anyway. And by that time, the season is practically over. There's just a handful of weeks left. So he practically is missing the season anyway. Now, that being said, Colt Ayerla doesn't have to re-sign with the Packers. After his injury settlement, after 8 weeks and he's healed from his knee injury, he could sign with any of 31 other NFL teams and still spend half a season on a practice squad. But, I mean, I don't know the extent any other NFL team is going to want Colt Ayerla at that point. You know, you kind of get to midseason, and yeah, sometimes other injuries take place and it opens spots up on practice squads and things like that. But, you know, some teams kind of, you know, if they're rather healthy, they just, you know, stick with the status quo and they're like, this is what they're doing is working, and they've got their own players they want to develop. So it's so tough to say what's going to happen with Colt Ayerla here. It's tough for me to get in the mind of Ted Thompson and what the Packers have planned for him. But for the time being, Colt Ayerla is not with the Packers franchise. Whether he comes back and is signed to the practice squad, I don't know. It could happen. It may not. Or, you know, if he signs with another team, he may or may not. If he signs with the Packers after the season and gives it another go next year, I don't really know. We can only wait and see, as you know, I say with so many things, but it's the God's honest truth. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball here, and nobody does. I think I tend to speculate on these things more than any other member of the media here on this podcast, but that's why you're listening to a hardcore Packer fan podcast where we analyze these kind of things on the most frequently broadcasted podcast, Packers podcast on the internet, as we reach something like 440 episodes here at Railbird Central, getting near that soon. But anyway, Colt Ayerla, no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers for the time being. We wait and see if he comes back next year, perhaps as a fullback, as has been hypothesized by Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, wondering whether Colt Ayerla may fill a need in that role at some point in the future. And with John Kuhn getting up there in age, I can see it. It could make sense, but... there's a lot that has to happen before we get to that point. I'm way months down the road. So a lot of the guys we talked about on today's podcast, it's going to be a long time till we talk about them again. But like I say, the Packers suffer a few injuries. It's not the end of the season. As long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy and Eddie Lacy and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and Josh Sitton and on the defensive side, Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and all these promising guys, as long as they're all healthy, the Packers are going to be good this season. And now we only have to get through one last preseason game here against the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday, preseason finale, and then we're on to the regular season. It's the game the fourth preseason game is kind of the most worthless of all the preseason games because it's the don't get injured preseason game more than anything. Yeah, there's still a little bit of meaning for those guys on the roster bubble, no doubt about it. But, you know, don't expect to see the starters long for a series, maybe two. And then the backups come in and play the game out. And it could be an important one for those guys on the bubble. And that's what makes it worth watching is those guys on the bubble fighting for jobs as the Packers going to cut down to 53 players by Saturday. And then it's going to move real quick because the Packers have that Thursday night game to start the regular season. You know, everything's going to come real quick where they're going to cut that roster and set the practice squad. And who knows if they make a waiver claim that, you know, that's not rare. When you trim final rosters down to 53, you could see a new player or two coming to Green Bay. But we'll see how it all plays out as the Packers getting ready to open this 2014 season. On Friday's show on Railbird Central, we'll have documentary film director Eric Sevlovich join us on the show. Director of the documentary film Die Noobs join us. The reason we're having Eric join us, Die Noobs is a documentary about gaming. Former Packers tight end Tom Crabtree is featured in the film, and part of it was filmed in Green Bay. So excited to talk to him about that. The Die Noobs is going to be making its release, its online debut on Friday as well. So the day the film is released is the day we're going to be talking to its director. So excited to do that on Friday. We'll see you then, folks, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at CheeseheadTV.com. Again, no call to action other than if you enjoy this show, please give us a rating on iTunes. Go there. Give us a rating on iTunes. Make a little bit of comment. I'm not looking for you to write a novel, just something short that shows that you're listening and tells us how you like the show. But anyway, we'll see you on Friday, folks. Enjoy the Packers preseason finale, and we'll talk to you later. I leave you today with a song called So Far From Home by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.